Triple M NRL for Harvey Norman. Brands, innovation and solutions for all your appliance needs.
Triple M, this is the Rush Hour. Billy Birmingham here with Dan Ganane, and obviously a lot of issues to get through in rugby league. And we've got a man, a name you mightn't be familiar with, but he is the head of the NRL Integrity Unit, Nick Weeks. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thanks very much.
Pleasure to have you on. Let's get through a couple of these things. Paul Gallen, $50,000 becomes $35,000. I know $15,000 suspended, so it's still a $50,000 fine. Why that amount? Why sort of one third of the fine suspended? How do we come to that decision?
Well, the $50,000 fine remains. That's the most significant financial penalty we can impose on a player, and we felt that that penalty should stand. Paul made some submissions to us, and we met with him to discuss what occurred. And based on those submissions, we made a determination to reduce, or not reduce, but to suspend $15,000 of the fine, which will be payable if he breaches the code of conduct in the next 12 months.
So you'll cop criticism, Nick, and I don't know if it's warranted or not. It may well be that this is the process that should have happened before he was given his original $50,000 fine. Are you comfortable with the process that has gone on here?
Yes, I am. This is the process that's been in place in rugby league for many years. And the initial breach, which was announced, is really akin to a charge, if you like. We say, we think you've breached the code of conduct. Here's why this is, you breached it, and this is the penalty. Now, you tell us if you agree or disagree, what you think are the factors we should consider. So that's the process we follow. And again, that process is announced today that we've adjusted the penalty slightly by suspending a component of the financial penalty.
But Nick, I reckon the reaction of most people, and me included, geez, that's a heavy fine for a nasty word. We live in an era of blokes, you know, shoulder charging through doors. We've got a bloke on a domestic violence charge. Here's a guy getting now a $35,000 fine, 50 minus 15. It does seem excessive.
Well, look, I think that when you step back and look at what was in the tweet, the context of it, it was, on anyone's measure, grossly offensive. It was offensive to everyone that works in the game. It was offensive particularly to women. Paul concedes he did the wrong thing. He's a leader in the game, New South Wales captain, arguably the top, two or three highest profile players in the game. And our expectations with respect to those players, and all players, is that they'll do the right thing and they'll help us to grow the game, because when players engage in misconduct like this, it damages the game, and we don't get a lot of pleasure out of acting, but we need to do it to protect the game because we're all trying to grow it.
Okay, we might agree to disagree on that one. Kira Somavaa, where are we at with him?
Well, his criminal matter concluded on Friday. So he's been charged with assault and he pleaded guilty and he was sentenced on Friday. Our code of conduct, which is the rules that govern players, and it governs the way in which we investigate misconduct off the field, requires us to step back and wait for criminal proceedings to conclude. That occurred on Friday. We're now engaged in discussions with the club, understanding exactly what occurred, and we'll determine with South what penalty might apply to Kurosomi.
Did he not already plead guilty, though? I understand the case didn't conclude until last week, but he already... He was already guilty there, wasn't he? He'd already put through his plea.
He did. He entered a plea of guilty in May, and the magistrate then adjourned the sentencing process until November, which occurred last week. So that's when the criminal matter concluded. And a lot of the material that we'll be reviewing in the coming days have only been come to light in that sentencing process. So when we make a decision, it's important we have all the information. We have that.
Back in May, you weren't aware that he threw his partner into a garage door. Was that not brought to light until last week?
No, we've only become aware of that in recent days. The details of the charge and all the different aggravating and mitigating factors that we'll assess in looking at that.
It still was domestic violence. The details, sure, I get that, and we didn't know the gruesome nature of it, but he still pled guilty to domestic violence in May. And the criticism, Peter, is going to be, well, this bloke was allowed to play a grand final and win a grand final, while others have been, like a Blake Ferguson, have been punished immediately.
The NRL doesn't tolerate domestic violence, and we'll act very sternly with respect to any player that's engaged in violence against women. We're going to look at this very closely. We're going to work with the SAS club. We're not going to prejudge it, but we are going to take it seriously as we do all these matters.
There was a very, very, controversial, I would suggest, back page of the paper today in the Daily Telegraph, and I understand there's been some reaction with the journalist, Phil Rothfield. Well, he's claiming he was banned. By that, it sounds like great offence has been taken to the article.
Look, I wouldn't say that. The reality is with these types of decisions that the NRL makes is that there always will be different opinions. There's an element of subjectivity into suspensions that we impose and that the game imposes. And for as long as players do the wrong thing, there will be debates about whether we got it right, wrong, or we're somewhere in between. So, look, we accept that everyone has a right to their opinion.
So has he been banned? Has Phil Rothfield been banned?
No, he hasn't. Absolutely not.
So what's he's claiming, though, that there's some sort of imposition has been placed on him?
I'm not aware of that. I'm not aware that he's claiming that, and it certainly hasn't happened.
All right. Well, I think we've addressed as many issues as we can here. When do we think we'll get a decision on Kirisom? What I don't understand, Nick, is I understand there's a process and you have to go back to South, but all the facts are out there. He's pled guilty to a charge. All the details are there. I would imagine a decision should come fairly shortly.
Well, look, we'll make a decision once we've reviewed everything, once we've reviewed it carefully, once we've spoken to the player. So I don't want to speculate as to when that process will have finished, but we'll go through it very carefully.
All right. Well, I think people are going to, some agree, some disagree with you, Nick, but you've given us your answers, and we appreciate that. The head of the NRL Integrity Unit, Nick Weeks, joining us on The Rush Hour. Thank you, Nick.
No problems.